We'll turn into your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And read with me the first five verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, for over 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have been called by many names. The most common of these is disciple, which means follower. Sometimes they were called believers, and in Acts chapter 14, verse 6, they were called those of the way. At Antioch, they were first called Christians, and Paul referred to them as saints, or those who had been set apart and sanctified. But each of these titles describe a different and distinctive characteristic of those who follow Christ. In Scripture, we read that John had another name for us, overcomers. Paul contends in Romans 12, verse 21, that Christians are those who are not overcome by evil, but those who overcome evil with good. In Revelation 2, in verse 7, Jesus said, "To him who overcomes, I give the right to eat from the tree of life." In verse 11, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. In verse 17 of Revelation 2, to him that overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it. And in verse 26, to him that overcomes and does my will, I will give him authority over nations. More of those same promises are given to us in Revelation 3 and verse 4, verses 21, and chapter 21 and verse 7. All those promises are for those who overcome. And when we listen to these verses, we all want to be overcomers. But how can we become overcomers? What is it? Webster says that an overcomer is one who gets better, one who excels, one who completes a task, one who accomplishes, wins, and conquers. The first thing is that an overcomer acknowledges that there is a problem. The word overcome implies that there is something standing in our way, that there's something that's keeping us from being what God wants us to be. An overcomer also understands that Satan is continually working to present us with another problem, another barrier, an obstacle. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's an opportunity to sin, or maybe it's just one more temptation. Overcoming has nothing to do with the circumstances or situations around us, but it has everything to do with the commitment that we have inside of us. We all have circumstances and situations. There are bad things that happen to every one of us. We are not immune from it. But the key to overcoming is what we do with these circumstances and situations. Problems constantly confront us. And each and every day, we are going to face a problem. We will always face sin. We will always face temptation and discouragement and suffering. These things are just around the corner. But these things have to be met head on. And to be overcome, if we are to be those conquerors, if we are to be the victorious, if we are going to be the person that God wants us to be each and every day. You see, in our text in 1 John chapter 5, he tells us what the problem really is, the things that we have to overcome, and that's the world. Our problem is this world. Now, God created this beautiful sphere and everything in it for good, and we enjoy the beauty of it each and every day. But Satan has become the ruler of this world since the very beginning of the creation of man. That's what John is speaking of. John is speaking about Satan and his plans, his schemes, this world where we find all of the sin and all of the pleasure, the world that is of hurt and pain and suffering. The world is anything that stands in opposition to the will of God. It's anything that destroys or weakens our faith or compromises our convictions. It's anything that destroys or weakens our influence or distorts our God-given desires and turns those things into lust. The world is anything that draws us away from God or tries to confuse our value system. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We can't be discouraged by what is all around us. We can, and we shall overcome. And that's the promise that God gives us if we live by faith. You know, earlier in 1 John, John says three times that the dear ones he is writing to have overcome. Those people living then are just like us, striving to overcome each and every day. It can be done. And God's not asking us to do something that's impossible. But God also wants us to know that there is a price to pay. And we must be willing to pay that price in order to overcome. Satan would like us to believe that the Christian life is easy, that it doesn't cost us nothing. But the cost of discipleship is very pricey. It costs us plenty to overcome. The first price that is paid is in 1 John 2 and verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things that are of the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, and whoever does the will of God abides forever. We're going to pay the price to separate ourselves from the world. We're already paying the price in society today. Now, years ago, there was a survey done, and people were asked who they desired as neighbors. Christian was at the bottom of the list. You believe that? The Christian's at the bottom of the list. They don't want our influence. They don't want our ideals. That's why it costs us the price. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, he tells us to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. When he says that, he goes and recites Leviticus 26 and verse 12, where it tells us that we must remove ourselves from them. I believe Leviticus 26:12 says to go out from their midst. Get away from them. Paul's also reminded us that evil companions corrupt good morals. We cannot be friends with the world and friends with Christ at the same time. And we have to choose. And we have to choose right if we are to be overcomers. Overcomers also cost us the pleasure of sin. The wages of sin, as we know, is death. And we must overcome by denying ourselves. For Jesus taught that if any man comes after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But James also reminds us that we must be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But are we willing to deny self, to die to self? Are we willing to do that? You see, that's the price. We lose a lot of friends, or so-called friends. You know, all the years, 24 years in the military, I considered a lot of acquaintances, but I had very few friends. Very few friends. Friends are like Joel Maddox, where a neighbor could call him up 12 o'clock in the morning, he drives to Atlanta to pick up his car that he wrecked. That's a friend. Friend says, well, did you call a tow truck? That's not a friend. That's an acquaintance. An overcomer is one who believes and accepts God's promises. In verse 4 of 1 John chapter 5, John indicated that we can overcome the world, and then for emphasis, he repeats that in verse 5. Does faith mean anything to us? Now we say we have faith, but do we really, really have faith? Faith is trusting in the promises of God. You see, because we may not see in this lifetime the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Do we have the faith that he's going to hold to that truth? There's no way for us to be overcomers without trusting in his promises. What are some of the promises that God has promised? In John 1 and verse 12, the first promise that we find here is to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 14 and verse 2, in my father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare you one. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can go on and on and on. Why is it that we seem to want to select, to choose the promises we want to believe in? We believe that our sins are forgiven in New Testament baptism. But do we believe that his blood continues to forgive our sins after we acknowledge the sins, even though we read those in 1 John? Are we like Paul, that we strive to forget the past and walk in the light? Do we seem to skip over those promises? We believe that Jesus has gone ahead and to heaven, he's prepared a place for us. But do we believe that he's busy every day, working all things out for our benefit, for our good, for our betterment? We have the tendency to choose the verses and the concepts, indeed, even the promises that we believe in. But know this. Overcomers, those who live by faith, are not alone. God is with us. God enables us and He empowers us. Now think for just a moment, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 and Noah. Probably the biggest boat they ever built was probably for one or two people. And they probably only went a little ways out in the water to cast nets to fish. And all of a sudden, this voice from heaven comes down and says, Noah, I need you to build a boat. Now, if I was sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I can do that. Well, no, now this, once he got the dimensions, you had to think, what in the world is he talking about? Noah and his sons worked on that boat for 100 years. Never, ever has a boat been built that size until the late 1800s. You don't think that God empowered and enabled Noah to do that work? What about Daniel being trapped in the lion's den? You think Daniel was sitting there thinking, I'm doomed. This is going to hurt. What about Jonah in the belly of that fish? God retrieved him. God saved Daniel. God saved Noah and his family. What about all of those standing at that portico at the temple at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. All of those folks that were lost in that terrible sin. But God forgave them. God gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. He added them to His family. And what God has done for these people, He does for us. Yes, overcomers are those who live by faith. And the Hebrew writers tells us that it's always been true. That this is the victory that has overcome the world. It is faith that pleases God. It is faith that enables us and makes us the overcomers. And our overcoming is directly proportional to our faith. Little faith, little overcoming. Strong faith, great overcoming. And all of life must be lived by this principle, not just by our religion. You go home and you open up a can of food, if you're a single guy. You heat it up and you eat it. Hoping that it's going to be nutritious if nutrition can come from a can and it's not going to be poison. You get on the plane. You have faith that the pilot knows what he's doing. You go to the doctor whose name you can't pronounce. He writes you a prescription you can't read. You take it to a pharmacist you never met. And yet we take that medicine in faith that it's going to make us well. Why is it we can apply a faith principle to the things in this world, but not in God's world? Overcomers believe in God's presence, God's power, and His providence. Think about these verses. I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. How many of us truly believe in God's presence and power and providence in our daily lives? Overcomers understand that faith demands obedience for salvation. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And it's crazy for us to think that we can be overcomers, that we can be saved without obedience, without submitting to the will of God. Overcomers must walk with Him each and every day. This same John tells us in 1 John 1, verses 7 and 9, that as children of God, we acknowledge our sins as we walk in the light, as He's in the light, that God will faithfully forgive us our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the kind of obedient faith John demands that overcomers have. How would you like to please God this evening? Would you like to be an overcomer, a disciple, a child of God, be a Christian tonight? You can by using this faith principle found in Galatians 3, verse 27. You are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. Tonight you can overcome the world. And as a Christian, you can also become overcomers by making sure that your heart is right with God. If there's anyone that needs to answer the invitation tonight, would you come as together we stand and we sing?